You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This is episode 471 of the Columbia Calling podcast. I'm Richard McCall here, your host in Bogota. In this episode, I leave the house, and I should forewarn you that we are recording in a working restaurant. Now, they weren't cooking at the time. There were no patrons at the time, but at the same time, there's a back and forth. There's some turning on, turning off of machinery and whatever takes place in an effective and award-winning kitchen because we are at Mesa Franca. So you will hear it going in and out, but I've done editing and the sound is great. And what's most important is Maria Amador's voice is as clear as if you were sitting there next to her, listening to her telling you the story about the award-winning restaurant Mesa Franca, located in Chapinero. It's really quite an incredible tale and such a nice conversation with someone who has helped, certainly involved in the evolution, or should we say revolution, of the cuisine for foodies in Bogota. Accessible yet high-quality restaurants. I think that's what's most important here. And who could even imagine next week's episode 472 coming out on the 6th of June is our 10-year anniversary episode, because actually the 4th of June is the 10-year anniversary, but we bring things out on a Tuesday, so that makes it the 6th of June. Who would have thought all these years we would have continued from strength to strength? So this is a huge thank you to the 10,000 of you, well, whoever it is. There's 10,000 downloads per month on a small, niche, Columbia-focused, in English podcast going out there. That's 10,000 downloads a month. It still seems unrealistic. Of course, so much of that is due to Emily Hart. People sign up for the news brief from her. That comes out every Monday to your WhatsApp or wherever you like it sent. Of course, it's no small feat to have her on here. And of course, thank you to that. We would not have reached 10 years without her, but we would not have reached 10 years without you, the listeners, because if you don't listen, it's just me barking at the moon like a madman. So I am really, really thrilled. And of course, we have supporters all over the world. And those of you, of course, from patreon.com/Columbia Calling, it really means a lot. And it's like a tip at the end of the month for us to get you signed up for patreon.com. So thank you. And there is some swag on there if you are, signed up for some time with us. But at the same time, 10 years, it does seem really quite amazing. So I'm going to leave you now in the capable hands of Emily Hart with the news. And then we'll be back with Maria Amador talking about Mesa Franca. But before I go, we are taking questions for next week's episode with Emily Hart interviewing me. She's going to interview me about 10 years on the Columbia Calling podcast. So questions related to that, please, you can send it through on Twitter, Facebook, email. There is a contact form directly on our website, columbiacalling.co. There's a contact form on there. Some of you already have my direct email address as well. So send questions in. We've got a couple, but of course, Emily will be asking the hard questions too. Priority, of course, will be given to our Patreon supporters. So don't go away, listen to this episode, and start thinking about what you would like to hear on the next episode. Thank you again. The Columbia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. We are also sponsored by BNB Columbia Tours, which is a leading tour operator providing a wonderful range of exclusive small group shared tours for those over 50, along with customizable private tours to both popular and off-the-map destinations throughout this beautiful and diverse country. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a unique private package of your own, just complete the form on the Colombia Calling website, that's www.colombiacalling.co, or the BNB Colombia Tours website, that's www.bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all of your questions and to start the planning of your exclusive Colombian adventure. So that's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors.
I'm Emily Hart, and these are your top stories for the week of May 29th, 2023. The massacre of four indigenous children, seemingly in retribution for their having escaped forced recruitment, has ended the ceasefire between FARC dissident group the Estado Mayor Central and the Colombian government. The ceasefire has now been unilaterally lifted by President Gustavo Petro, who reactivated all military operations against the group in various regions of the country. According to the armed forces, the group had already violated the ceasefire around 200 times this year. The Conflict Analysis Resource Center has registered 36 deaths due to ceasefire violations by the group in the same period. The group, however, claims that the facts are unverified and warns that the breaking of the ceasefire will unleash war and multiply the dead, wounded, and prisoners. Nonetheless, peace negotiations continue. Meanwhile, the third cycle of talks with guerrilla group the ELN, the Ejército de Liberación Nacional, have been extended by 10 days, reportedly in order to firm up a much-awaited ceasefire between the group and the state. In the meantime, the group carried out an explosives attack in Tibul, in the department of Norte de Santander, which killed two policemen, supposedly an unintended result of the explosion. There have also been clashes between the ELN and the Clan del Golfo armed group, displacing 1,500 people near the San Juan River in Chocó, a key battleground for armed groups. Former President Álvaro Uribe may face trial for witness tampering and bribery after a judge ruled that she would not shelve the case on the grounds that there is sufficient evidence. Uribe has already said he will appeal the decision. He could serve up to 12 years if convicted. The case stems from 2012, when Uribe accused Senator Iván Cepeda of fabricating evidence which tied him to paramilitaries. However, in 2018, the Supreme Court ended up ruling that it was in fact Uribe who had pressured and bribed witnesses. The case has been in and out of appeal processes and attempts to have it shelved ever since. The health bill has finally been approved in the House of Representatives and now needs only three congressional debates to become law. This reform has been one of the most important and most troubled in Petro's extensive agenda. Some key articles were changed and removed, including the granting of extraordinary powers to the president and the creation of regional funds to finance health systems. A major change which survived the debates, however, is that private healthcare providers will no longer have their central function of being intermediaries. The state administrator will be solely responsible for transferring money from health systems to hospitals, and providers will act now only as insurers. Poverty in Colombia is down to pre-pandemic levels, according to the government statistics agency. Severe multidimensional poverty fell from 16% to only 12.9% between 2021 and 2022. This is the best figure in history, but still a grim image of 6.6 million people in Colombia and how they continue to live. The Caribbean region recorded the biggest drop, over 5%, in just 1 year. The Department of Vichada, however, has a multidimensional poverty rate of more than 75%, the only region with a rate over 50%. Bogotá has a rate of only 4%. Those were your top stories for this week. Thanks for listening.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this is segment 3 of episode 471. Well, I'm very happy to be here. I'm very happy to be here in the environs of the restaurant Mesa Franca, one of the top 50 restaurants in Latin America. And my very special guest this week is not only, but one of the founders, Maria Paula Amador. How amazing is it to be here with Maria Paula? It's a real thrill. So welcome on the Columbia Calling podcast.
Hello, Richard.
Hello.
You know what? I prefer if you call me Maria.
Maria?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll just say Maria.
My name is Maria Paula, but for the past years, I've been telling everyone, from now on, I'm only Maria.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay, it's easier.
It is definitely easier.
Well, yes, it's definitely easier. But anyway, what's more exciting is that we've left the house, everyone. Once again, we've left the house. It's not too often that we leave the house, but yes, we've left the house. We're not doing this via Zoom. We are here in the confines of Mesa Franca. We're here early. There's the bustle. You might hear in the background the bustle of whatever's going on, the preparations for lunchtime here. Big deal, obviously, Friday. We're a stone's throw from the Carrera Septima, from where the Mesa Franca restaurant is located. It's an award-winning restaurant, as I mentioned previously. And we're just going to talk about it with Maria. We're just going to talk about how it came about, how they came to be in this truly beautiful setting. It's one of those old English houses with a patio in the back and a patio terrace at the front, and just everything evokes style and class. So let's just jump right in. How long ago did you start Mesa Franca?
Wow. Okay. So the dream of having Mesa Franca started probably 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Or a little more. Mm-hmm. No, a little more. Like when I was, I'm 36.
You don't have to admit these things.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Okay. I'm fine with that. Okay, I'm very fine with that. When I was still studying in high school, I was like dreaming of having a restaurant.
Yeah.
So that was back in 2005.
Yeah.
So my dream started back then.
Okay.
I knew I was going to have a restaurant one day. I started working in restaurants, Bogota, like Harry Sazon,
mm-hmm.
and then Astrid y Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met my business partner, Ivan, the chef. So even though Mesa Franca started almost 7 years ago, like when you ask me when did it started, for me, it started when my dream started. You know what I mean?
So you started really around the 50s, all those years ago. You were around Calle 50 something. I don't remember exactly, but I can see it. I can remember where I visited it for the first time.
Beautiful. 55 with
Carreras. Okay, so you were in the 55, Calle 55 with Carrera Sexta. So again, in the great house, and I remember the bar. And I would say that this kind of area was the new wave of the restaurant evolution. This is where young chefs with new ideas, untethered by let's say, the practices of the past, started this evolution in the restaurant world, the foodie movement. Let's call it New Wave. Anyway, we'll name some others later on. But I imagine that the rent there was more affordable back then. But of course, now it's gentrified and it's obviously less affordable. I mean, this happens everywhere. But I do remember sitting at the cool bar, and the first thing I ordered in Mesa Franca all those years ago was the Bloody Mary with the smoked tomato, made into the tomato juice. It was delicious.
Yes.
It's very good. Are you still serving that?
No, we don't. Our menu changes constantly.
Well, good.
And it has been changing through the years.
Well,
we've been evolving and evolving and evolving.
Well, it's an evolution, isn't it? You need to keep evolving. You need to keep trying to change and changing successfully as you've done. You have so many repeat customers. You need to offer them something new each time they come. Of course, this is what a restaurant needs to do. You can't rest on your laurels.
Exactly. That's like the DNA of Mesa Franca. That's like part of our soul. Okay. That everything is constantly changing, evolving. We're always showing something new in the kitchen, in the bar. But when you mentioned about the house, I would like to talk about it because it has a very nice, like, it's a very nice story. So when I finished high school, I left Colombia and I traveled for 10 years.
10, apenas, oh, just 10.
Okay. 10 years. I love traveling. So I studied and I started working in restaurants and traveling at the same time. It was like the perfect combination. Mm-hmm. Like I also dreamed about traveling around the world. And when I came back to Colombia, like I was definitely like I was turning 30. And then I was like, oh my, the 30 crisis, you know? And I was like, I need to open my restaurant. And then I started talking with Ivan, my business partner, and Tom, mm-hmm. who's my boyfriend and also my business partner. And he came with me. I met him working in a cruise ship. So when I came back, I met with Ivan, and then we started looking for a house. And as you mentioned, like back in 2015, 2016, when we opened, Chapinero was a neighborhood that was definitely more affordable than other neighborhoods in Bogota. And not only because of that, we chose this area because we thought it had like an amazing vibe. And back then there were not many restaurants like today. There was only Minimal and Salvo Patria, and that was basically it.
And Salvo Patria, I remember that they started in a corner building there in the Plaza del Portugal and then moved up to where it is now.
Yes, exactly. And then, so when we were looking for a house, the very first house that we saw is where we are right now. And we looked at it, and it was huge, and it needed, like, a very big investment. So we kind of said no. And then we found the other house. It was a little smaller and needed less investment, and that's why, like, that was one of the reasons we chose it. Okay. So we started there, but we always had our eyes in this house.
Well, I'm glad you found this house because there's been a few things here.
It was a restaurant owned by the same owners of the house. Uh-huh. And then it was like a cafe, like a cat cafe.
I always wanted to know who went or who came to the cat cafe.
Believe it or not, many people.
Yes, I went to a cat cafe in the Candelaria. I'm not a really big fan of cats, and I didn't really want to go there, but I guess we were meeting people. And I went to this cat cafe, cats everywhere, and I ended up getting fleas.
There were like 20 or 30 cats in the second floor, and people will come here for a coffee and to be with the cats. And still, nowadays, there's people that are walking and they ask, like, where are the cats? And we're like, well, they're gone.
Okay, I'm glad they're gone.
So, when COVID started, unfortunately, like, the cat cafe had to close. But fortunately for us, like, we were able to move.
Yeah.
So that move was, like, a very, very big step for us because it was, like the move of growing even more.
Yeah.
And showing that we can be, like, we can give even more, we can do even more, we can show even more. Like, we, for example, like, in the first house, we were cooking in a garage. We were doing amazing things.
Yeah.
In a tiny, like, space where just a car fits.
Yeah.
It was basically the garage.
I remember when, you know, it was mid-COVID or something, where you said your guys were closing, but that was for the move. But we were all like, those of us who did not know you were moving, like, oh no, another victim of the pandemic.
But yeah. Well, for some people, like, yeah, they thought we were definitely closing.
Yeah.
It was not secret. I mean, like, we were telling everyone, but the thing is that not everyone or not all of our clients are, like, super close to us. So many people, yeah, they thought, even like after a year of being here or even more, I remember receiving guests that like opened the door and told us like, oh my God, I found you. Like, we thought you were gone forever.
Yeah.
Forever, you know, like not everyone uses Instagram, not everyone uses, you know,
social media. But that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, if you didn't know, and it's kind of almost like a rebranding, and people are not up to speed. It's a big step to move a location for an established restaurant. I mean, it's a huge deal. Of course, you experienced it, but.
Yeah.
You've now been here, what, 2 years, 3 years now?
2 years.
2 years.
Everybody knows. This month, 2 years.
Amazing. Like, it's amazing.
I remember the day, 4th of May.
Well, now you're here and you have all the space you need. You have a kitchen area down here that's visible from the restaurant. Do you have a kitchen upstairs? Because this is a sizable house.
Not upstairs, okay. Only down here. Uh-huh. And for example, this patio area... Mm. We opened only September last year.
Okay. Yeah, because so, I don't remember this. This is the first time I've seen it here.
This was basically like an empty space. People will come out here to like have a smoke.
Yeah. It's like the staff social quarters.
Yeah. And then, but because I said like this was like this move like permitted us to like move like grow.
Yeah.
So like. We grew like organically, like we've always done.
But it has to be, because it has to be a sustainable business model. You can't overdo it and open in the biggest warehouse and then expect to fill it. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly.
I want to ask about, you know, those kind of English style houses back where you started out. Did you find, like, when you were doing some work, did you find, like, weird things buried in the walls and stuff? Because I know of some people who have, like, found, like, bones and spells and stuff.
Let me think. In the first house, we found, a Christ.
Yeah.
Una cruz.
Yeah. Was it inside the wall?
No, not inside. It was just hanging somewhere. So we heard stories that like the person that lived there before was like very religious, but we didn't really find like weird things. Yeah. But there was a story that like there was a ghost living there. And I remember we had like these long hanging lamps
It was in the center, wasn't it?
In the center,
the cloister style.
Yes. And they will move a lot, like there's something. And then I remember Ivan, the chef, one day went to one of the rooms that was kind of like a warehouse, a place where we keep things.
Yeah.
And then he took the handle of the door from the other side to close the door, because you know you have to press the button to keep it closed. And he says that he felt a hand grabbing him like this, like really strong, like, and then he was like, oh my God, things like this, like. And then we have an employee who's been working with us for 7 years already. She said she also saw something. Like the dogs, you know, the dogs also feel like energies. Sometimes like in the mornings where there were no people, no clients. And then some of our dogs like will bark at like staring at something or somebody or so, things like that.
You see, I knew it. I knew those old houses because I've heard of it before, but a little bit further south, someone moved in and they said, well, we found like little kind of burial stuff and things to make a business go better. And my listeners who've been listening for 10 years now, hopefully will know I've got businesses in Mompos and we've had spells put on us and we've found burials underneath the colonial houses. Obviously, these houses here in Chapinero are more contemporary, but the practice
of mixing, let's say, the Catholicism with something else, and perhaps the belief or the reality of having ghosts is very present in Colombia.
It is.
It's something that's, you know, it's openly talked about. So I thought, I'm going to ask Maria about this. But here in this house, nothing.
Maybe less.
I mean, it's probably a bit more contemporary.
This house is huge.
Yes,
This house is huge. And there's another part of the house, like that second floor.
Yeah. Oh, that's part of this house, too.
It's part of this house. Maybe after this podcast, I will invite you to go upstairs. It's kind of like abandoned and the house is owned by a family.
Yeah.
And this part of the house is owned by a part of the family. And this other part is owned by one of the oldest member of the family.
Yes.
And he keeps a lot of things up there. So when you go up there, you're gonna feel the energy.
Okay, so it's one of those typical things where there's a family with all different parts of it owning different things.
But they're now telling us that they now have an agreement and they want to rent that part as well for us. So we're thinking about like opening something different up there.
Something different.
Yeah.
Not an extension of Mesa.
Not an extension. Definitely not an extension. We're done with extensions.
I like the size you've got here. There's a good space. We're not jammed in. And that's one thing I said to my wife when we were last here, it's probably about a month ago. I said, I'm so glad that I don't feel that they've stuck. You know, there are restaurants in this space where we are now would stick another 5 tables in.
No, the thing is that, I mean, we started with 80 covers. Then we moved here. We had 90 covers. And with the patio extension, we now have 126 covers. The thing is that it doesn't because it's so huge and there's many different areas, you don't see like the tables are like,
you don't feel it.
But that's not the point. The point is that we're a high quality restaurant, and to keep like the standards and the quality in kitchen and bar for like that amount of people is very difficult. So we definitely don't want more covers. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us because
a lot, you know, and you do a couple of sittings at lunch and
lunch. It's not as busy as night service. Well, definitely like Saturday's lunch and Sunday lunch are very busy, but dinner service is very, very, very full.
That's why we only ever come at lunchtime, because it's the only time we can get a reservation.
Always come with or without a reservation.
Well, it's just the two of us as well. It's always much easier.
Yeah, there's always a way. There's always an option. We always find a space.
I have noticed that. Your staff are very good at that. They do, you know, look at making a solution. Sometimes I go to other restaurants, not naming any, and, you know, the person receiving you just looks blankly, and it's like, it'll be a 45-minute wait.
Honestly, you know
there are
what?
Other restaurants in the city.
I just remembered, now that you say that, it's a funny story. A few years ago, we went to Paris. We were traveling, and we went to a restaurant with Tom. It was a restaurant, you know, like Anthony Bourdain visited. Okay. So we really wanted to go and this and that. And we entered the restaurant. We didn't have a reservation. We were just the two of us. And we said, hello, how are you? Very, you know, nice and friendly.
Oh, it's Paris. They're not going to be friendly back.
Do you have a table for two? And the lady looked at us with the reservation book. And she says, fully booked, fully booked.
Oh,
and we were like, can you be a little bit nicer?
No.
Please?
No, it's not. I was there. People know this. We were there 2 years ago in Paris. And, I have two small children, and I really am sure that Parisians hate children. I mean, you know, they're just children. You know, they're just doing the stuff they're doing.
So we always tell this story. Yeah. Always.
You tell your staff this as well. Like, this is not what we're going to be. I think there's a real issue because you want to be. I know we are the clients, and then, but also there has to be. There's a two-way, isn't there? It's like the restaurant and the clients. If there's a good behaviour, then there's a good feeling, and then there's a better service, and it's the same way, you know. And then the tip is hopefully bigger, and you know, it all works in this thing. Before we move off the issue of ghosts and energies, and before you show me the other side of the house.
Okay.
So we are here, what calle is this?
This is 61.
So we're on 61, half a block up from the Septima. Now, anyone who knows a little history about Bogota will know, when if you come past, there is a sort of abandoned, graffitied building right on the corner of 61 and Septima, which used to be a famous Italian restaurant, like one of the classic ones, I think, in Bogota, called Posetto. And of course, now just put Posetto Bogota into Google, and all these things will come up about a dreadful murder. I mean, it was someone opened fire in there.
Yeah,
so in 1986, I think we looked up.
The year I was born.
There you go. So and so there's a legend around there, and that house is kind of spooky. And I'm sure what they'll do is they'll demolish it to put up some apartments. That seems to be the way in this area.
That's what they've been saying.
But nobody seems to have done anything.
No, we've heard stories that they're gonna demolish, that they're gonna build an apartments block. But I mean, it's there. It's not moving. We don't know what's gonna happen.
No. It seems to be sort of like a house for the homeless at the moment and stuff. But does the energy doesn't affect you here? Because I'm here and it feels great.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it feels great. It's a really good feeling.
I mean, you know what? I think we've changed the energy.
Yeah, I think so.
And in this street, we were the first to open. And then another restaurant called Rio opened a few months ago. And Momentino, like a year ago. It's a wine bar.
Isn't it nice?
It's just next door.
I've been told about that. And isn't there
a really nice wine store as well,
just around here? Like
in front.
Okay.
There's a bookstore.
I knew there's all sorts of things.
And two hair salons.
Oh, well, of course. Well, there always were some here. Because I used to live on the 64th. 64? Yeah. So on the other side of the road in the big building. So it was always my walking route was up and around here and stuff. And now we need to celebrate you a bit because you're always traveling and you're always around. And what's the most recent award you guys have got? Because you are one of the most recognized restaurants now in Bogota, if not Colombia. When people say we've got to go, on their list is Mesa Franca. So what is the most recent award you have won?
Thank you. We received last year in November the award of being in the number 49 in the 50 best restaurant Latin American list.
I saw the plaque outside. Stuck it up. Pretty cool though, isn't it?
Yeah. They gave it to us when we traveled to Mexico for the ceremony. We got it and we placed it there.
Well, of course. Now, for 2023, you'll obviously be going up. Will you take that plaque down and put it with the better one?
No. You keep it and then you place the next one.
To just show the continuity.
Exactly.
Do you know anything about how you're doing this year? Is there like a leap?
We don't know anything. And last year we didn't know anything either. We never worked for being in the list. We never looked to be in the list. It just happened, which is nice. It's like a recognition for what we do.
Yeah.
We just didn't look for it. Mm-hmm. It happened.
But then it means you're focusing on what you have and you're focusing on what you offer and awards. You know, they are secondary, but they come parallel and push you up as well. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And so when are we going to get some Michelin stars?
There's no Michelin stars in Colombia, in Latin America.
But when are you going to get one? You're going to be the first. Come on. But there have been chefs with Michelin stars who've done some work in Colombia, right?
Yeah, Colombian chefs.
Yeah.
Yes. For example, Sebastian Vargas in Los Felix in Miami.
Okay.
So he got a Michelin star.
All right.
And Juan Manuel Barrientos from El Cielo.
Yes, Juan Manuel Barrientos, who has done such great work with former reintegrating paramilitaries, getting them into the restaurant business and out of, obviously, the situation that they're in. So anyway, let's move on here. We've got this huge house. We're coming back to this again. You're not doing an expansion of Mesa Franca, but you do, or you must, have plans for the rest of the house. There's too much space here. There's too much space for you to, I mean, you can establish something else. So tell us what's the plan.
Let's keep it a secret.
Oh.
But what it's not a secret...
You'll tell me.
It's we're opening a Colorado in a few months.
Colorado. And where's that?
Colorado is going to be on Calle 65, next to Leo.
Yeah.
Same
right
street.
Back, in that sort of...
Same street.
Okay. So that little sort
so,
of...
So it's a bakery.
Oh, nice.
Like a all-day cafe concept where you can go and have breakfast, lunch, an early dinner, where you can have like a coffee, go and work for a bit, or you can also go with friends and have like low ABV cocktails or a bottle of wine.
It sounds like a kind of place that I would go to for a meeting or just to hang out or... to pretend I'm working somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. So when does that open? When does Colorado open?
It's going to open end July or soon. Beginning of August.
Okay, for the summer European
hopefully,
rush.
If... Hopefully. No, it will.
No, it's a good area to start up. It's a good area to open something because it's a kind of like that pocket. And I've always thought of the Calle 65 being a barrier, not so much of gentrification, but how things have changed and how you get the different restaurants now popping up in that area.
Sonaje and Chapinero.
Yeah, so we look at that. I mean, the street, the 65 originally had all these sort of Mondongo and Fritanga places, most of which are still there, sort of Doña Nieves, I believe it's called, and it's kind of famous. But now you've got, you know, Salon Tropical, Contracorriente, I want to say Cafe Bar Universal. They're all there.
El Chato.
Yeah, from time to time I give talks or presentations on Colombian politics and culture at places like the Casa Medina Hotel and so on. And of course the guests afterwards are like, no, we're going to dinner or wherever, lunch at El Chato or any one of those ones on the 65. And they say, oh yeah, the hotel's going to get us a taxi. And I'm like, no, but you can walk. I'll guide you. It's like a, you know, 6-minute walk out of my way. I'll guide you over there. I'll walk you over there. And that's what makes it so special is the proximity, the walking distance, making Bogota a bit more of a walking city once again. Well, I think it goes without saying that the Calle 65 is an exciting street for all the restaurants. Oh, and I've overlooked one, Pasta at Emilia Romagna. I think you should go there as well. If people want to have a great pasta lunch, dinner, Emilia Romagna on the 65 as well. And of course, avoid all the escoltas, that's the armed cars, you know, blocking the road for famous people getting in and out of them. But to just head down there, do book, of course. But as you can tell, I like to go out for food. I am a great patron of all of these restaurants. It's one of the great things. It's one of the most enjoyable things to do in Bogota.
Probably you go to more restaurants than I do.
Well, you probably get tired of going to restaurants.
No, you know what? Like, people think that because you're working in the restaurant industry, you go to a lot of restaurants. Mm. But actually, you're working at your restaurant, so you don't really have time to go to other restaurants. Yeah. I mean, we try, but I have friends that don't work in the restaurant industry and go more to restaurants than me. So when they ask me for recommendations, I'm like, well, I know because I work in the restaurant industry, but it's not because I've been like...
Well, that's it. I can't emphasize enough that with the street and this area and the walkability of it and visitors to Colombia and visitors to Bogota, they want that. And remember, it's safe around here. It's safe to walk in these areas. Of course, you take a little bit more care at night. And well, I'd say also before having children... we would go out a lot more to restaurants, but you know, we still get out there once, maybe twice a week at a push. But it's I like it because I walk to all of these places and don't have to take the car, which of course Bogota, one of the worst cities in the world for traffic. And I think that Mesa Franca represents a neighborhood restaurant.
We definitely are. Yeah.
Now, is your policy farm-to-table as well?
We can be a neighborhood restaurant, but we can also be a destination restaurant. Yes. Like, both. I mean, and talking about farm-to-table, we definitely work with small producers, local producers. Yeah.
Does your fish come in from the Pacific, or does it come in from the Caribbean?
It does come from the Pacific. Responsible fishing.
Has to be.
That's how you say in English?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pescar responsable.
Yeah, responsible. Yeah, sustainable.
Responsible fishing. We also get, not only from the Pacific, we also get trout from Guanenta, which is a natural, beautiful reserve in Santander.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So that's also a beautiful, beautiful product. We work a lot with organic vegetables from Vida Orgánica, Finca Tagua.
So that's great. I mean, you really are connected into the sort of Colombian network of providers and so on. I know of restaurants that import everything, and you really do have to sort of look inwards, look at the country and everything that is provided here.
Of course you have to work with imported ingredients, like, for example, olive oil.
Well, yeah.
But then the rest, here in Mesa Franca, we work with a local product.
Well, we've come to that sort of point in the podcast, in this recording, that we need to give a shout out to, one of our listeners who put me and Maria in touch. In fact, he might be Mesa Franca's biggest fan, because I know that he, at the moment, is living opposite. So he probably just comes over for, you know, a pan de queso and a coffee. But anyway, Chris, thank you so much for putting us in touch. Chris is originally from Indiana via California and now Bogota. So, no more about Chris, but thank you, Chris. And yes, it's probably time. It's probably time for Maria to go and crack the whip. And to my listeners, I also need to say, listen, I know that the sound is coming in and out. Well, it is a working restaurant. It is Friday morning, probably one of the biggest days of the week. So we deal with whatever's happening, the sounds turning on, turning off. I don't know what they're doing. Maria knows better. And of course, she's sort of logging it in her head. Maria, I think it's probably time for you to start cracking the whip, getting things ready for Friday. One question here. Do you stay all the way until the restaurant closes?
Not until it closes, but
you'll
definitely
be overseeing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to let Maria.
After a few years at the beginning, we will stay from opening till close.
Well, I used to do that in the hotels as well.
But then, after a few years, and when you start trusting and you have your, a great team, you have to kind of let it go.
Well, that's it. I mean, if you show your trust in the team, then it moves on, and then you can leave or delegate a bit better, and that's how these things work. But I think it's time now that we leave you, Maria, and just say, listen, congratulations on these continued successes that you are having with Mesa Franca, and of course that you will have with Colorado, which will be over there near to Leo, a bit closer to the Zona G from where you are now. It's bound to be a success. We stand in awe at the work you have done to change and to broaden the horizons, broaden the offering of Colombian food, new Colombian food.
Thank you. Well, thank you for inviting me. Actually, this was my first podcast.
There we go. It's taken me 10 years to get you on here. But it's all fun, isn't it? It's about having a conversation.
I thought I was going to be nervous, but
why?
It was fine.
Why? Also, you're in your domain, so there's no real reason to be
Thank
nervous.
You to all the listeners. Thank you, Chris, for putting us in contact. And thank you, Richard.
Well, there you have it. Our conversation with Maria Amador of Mesa Franca. Again, I apologize for the way the sound comes in and out. I've done some editing to make this a bit better, but of course it's a working kitchen and that's what we need to deal with when we leave the house and don't do these things via Zoom. It's been a great conversation and I truly, truly recommend all of you, if you can, get a reservation with Mesa Franca. If you're here in Bogota, if you're living in Bogota, passing through, whatever, get a reservation with Mesa Franca. There are a whole host of new restaurants out there. They're not so new anymore, but they represent the new here in Bogota. And it has become a foodie destination in its own right on that respect. So I really am quite pleased to live here and quite proud. And of course, I take no pride in it. I mean, shouldn't take any pride in it, but I am proud to be able to eat at these places. It's a privilege to be within walking distance of most of them. So thank you again to Maria Amador and her team for this space, this time, and of course, on a Friday when they're about to start sweating it for the big client rush of clientele, Friday lunch, Friday dinner, Saturday lunch, Saturday dinner, and so on. So we'll leave you now with some messages from our sponsors. But of course, remember, you can always, give us like what is amounts to a little tip, isn't it? www.patreon.com/Columbia Calling. It's like a tip for us, for Emily and myself. Thank you always to everyone who is already signed up on Patreon supporting us. Next week, very exciting indeed. 10th year anniversary, episode 472. It will be Emily and myself taking your questions. So send them in. It can be sent in on messages on Facebook, on Twitter, via our contact form. That's columbiacalling.co. You can find the contact form there. We are taking your questions regarding the 10 years of the Columbia Calling podcast. So please send them in because we'll be recording on Friday. That's Friday, the 2nd of June. That will be the cutoff point for questions. So over to our sponsors now, and thank you for listening. The Columbia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. We are also sponsored by BNB Columbia Tours, which is a leading tour operator providing a wonderful range of exclusive small group shared tours for those over 50, along with customizable private tours to both popular and off-the-map destinations throughout this beautiful and diverse country. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a unique private package of your own, just complete the form on the Columbia Calling website, that's www.columbiacalling.co, or the BNB Columbia Tours website, that's www.bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all of your questions and to start the planning of your exclusive Colombian adventure. So that's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.